Today, we are going to look at the Christmas story. Praise God. It's a story that doesn't get old. Amen. And I really appreciate the worship team with the thoughtfulness they put into drawing us into the pain and darkness of our world and then bringing us into the hope of the Savior, Jesus Christ. I put on the top of your outline, what have you seen? So I want us to think about this for a minute. What's the greatest thing you've seen in life? Okay, that's a good answer. I think, what have you seen with your eyes is what I'm thinking about. Maybe you've seen an impressive sunrise. Sunrises inspire me. My wife prayed we get a house that I could like look over the city and pray, and we got a house with a third floor office, and I see the sunrise most mornings. It's very inspiring. It makes me want to worship God. Maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon or some, you know, physical experience where you just say, whoa, this is so big. It's so awesome. Or have you ever been out in a boat and you go out to a point where all of a sudden you can't see land anymore? And all of a sudden you feel like, whoa, I am really small. And you feel this expanse of the ocean. Maybe you're into sports. There's a guy, Odell Beckham Jr., if you like football, he plays for the New York Giants. And last year, he made this amazing catch where he's diving back in the end zone, and a guy was like on top of him, and he just put out one hand. The ball hit his hand. He grabbed it and pulled it in for a touchdown. And so it's on like Sports Center over and over again. Or extreme sports. I happened to watch this show where these guys were kayaking, and they go on these rivers where there's waterfalls, and these guys like go over like 50 and 100 foot waterfalls in kayaks. And they seem to live to tell about it. There's another sport. Have you ever seen the people who are on cliffs and they have like kind of glider wings built into like a jumpsuit, and they literally jump off like Batman? And it's really inspiring. That is really dangerous. And the people who do that regularly die. It's sad to say. Or how about, have you ever been on an ocean whale watch and you go out and like you just see like this tremendously huge well, there's lots of things that are inspiring and spectacular. So I'm going to read to us from Luke chapter 2, because something very spectacular happened in this historical account. So in verse 1, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, a feeding trough." Suddenly, there appeared to the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Would you agree that was a spectacular event? Yes. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Amen. All right, let's pray for a minute. Father God, I pray that you would help me speak in a way that opens our hearts to you. Father, I pray that you would make us excited about this Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, that you've brought into our world. In his name we pray.
Amen.
All right, let's try and get into the story a little bit. How many of you have ever gone camping? All right, when you go camping, what do you do at night? You sit around a campfire, right? Right? Unless it's the summer and it's really warm. I mean, it's usually like cold and you're chilling out a lot, right? You're hanging out, you're talking. So shepherds, when the sheep are done eating for the day and they're just lying down, they're chilling. They're hanging out together, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And not just an angel, the glory of God, Luke says, was shining all around. Wow. And these guys weren't like, oh, hey, cool angel, yeah, man. I mean, they were terrified. Whenever you see angels appearing to people in Scripture, what's usually the first thing the angel says? Don't be afraid. They were scared. So that was something. How many of you would agree, this is your first point with me, that what the shepherds saw was a life-changing experience? Yeah, it was life-changing. And the angel had a message. Don't be afraid. Why? I bring you what? Good news. And the good news is for the Jewish people, the select few. No, all people. That's the next point. It's for everybody. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. So number three, the good news is that there's a Savior for this world. I appreciated, again, how in worship we're reminded of all the pain in the world around us. It's been kind of a dark year if you're studying the newspaper headlines. There's injustice, and people are angry or afraid or fleeing for their lives. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And it's not just any Savior, Christ the Lord. What does the word Christ mean? Messiah. Okay, who's the Messiah? Not beside Jesus, but in Jewish understanding from the Old Testament, who's the Messiah? Yeah, a king, a liberator, or a high priest. I mean, it's not spelled out. You know, they can't go to like Wikipedia, Messiah, and you get a little definition. There's all these passages in Scripture that are prophesying about someone great. The Scripture we read earlier, there's a child who's been born. Okay? What's his name? Yeshua from Isaiah 9. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Okay, this past week I went to see Rodrigo and his wife, and they have a new baby. It's only 2 months old. His name's Ian, and we're there for a while. And I said, oh, can I hold the baby? They said, oh, do you like babies? I said, I have 6 kids. I've got like 5 grandchildren. I'm a baby guy, you know? So I really enjoyed it. He smiled at me. It was fun. One thing I didn't do is I didn't come. I brought some flowers for his wife. I didn't give her the flowers and then bow and prostrate myself and worship little Ian. I didn't do that. They didn't name him, meet our son, Mighty God. Kind of like, okay, maybe we don't want these people in our church after all. That was the name of the child, Mighty God. How long was the time gap between Isaiah's prophecies, Jeremiah's prophecies, and Jesus coming? Around 700 years, 7 centuries. What happened 700 years ago? Most of us can't like think of anything. 1492, Columbus sailed. No, that's not it. The Magna Carta, there we go. Okay, things that like are just, they're so distant. But the Jewish people hung on to this promise of a liberator, of someone who would bring God's kingdom on earth, heaven on earth, God's glory on earth. They were hanging on to that, especially because the Romans were occupying their country. Can you imagine if a foreign nation occupied Boston? How much would we like that? Yeah, we wouldn't like that too much. I mean, we're Americans, by golly. We don't put up with that. But who knows? It could happen sometime. I hope not. It happens to people all around the world today. That happened to the Jewish people. They were hoping, God, will you please send this person you promised? Century after century after century. They're waiting, hoping. So when the angel says, the good news is a Savior is born, and by the way, he is Christ, meaning Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, the Lord has arrived. Do you think they said, wow, you know, what do you guys think about that? You know, it's like, no, they're like ecstatic. They're jumping up and down. They're like, oh my gosh. I mean, they're stunned. If an angel hadn't told them, they wouldn't have believed it. And the angel said, this is how you'll recognize him. He's going to be wrapped in cloths, lying in a feed trough. How many of you have ever visited a baby in a feed trough in a barn? Yeah, nobody. All right? So that made it pretty easy to find the right baby, right? So they went, they found it just like the angel said. So this was absolutely the most amazing good news Jewish shepherds could hear. I mean, good news for us in America is Gronk is back. He's going to play today. We won last week. That is, I mean, it's fun, but it's so petty. I mean, this is genuinely good news. There's good news for our nation. There's good news for the world. God's Messiah has arrived. And they're ecstatic. And so they ran to see the baby. Now, number four, ask a question. The heavenly host. This heavenly host appears. What's the heavenly host? What the heck is the heavenly host? Angel armies. Some translations, New Living Translation, angel armies. They're trying to capture hosts, thousands upon thousands. 10,000 times 10,000, it says in Revelation. They all come and appear. They're around all the time. Amen? But we don't see them. And they saw the host of heaven. And what's the host of heaven doing? Praising God. They're saying glory to God in the highest. Why is the host of heaven excited? You're not sure? It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. How did God demonstrate he's pleased that night? There's a baby in a manger. Because you think about it, God is pleased. Does that mean, were the angels coming and saying, wow, the people on earth are really awesome. And you guys are so great, you're so marvelous, you're so wonderful. God's also brought like his son, and you know, you can believe in him if you want to. That's not what the message is it? The people who walk in darkness see a great light. And so the good news is God saw how dark it is, and he was pleased with men to say, I'm not going to leave you in this condition. Hallelujah. If you're down and hurting and out, and someone says, I'm not going to leave you in this condition, you're really thankful. And so that's God's miracle. So five, God was pleased to bring his light into our darkness. And number six, the shepherds were the first witnesses for Jesus. Right? Because they come. And there's somebody besides Mary and Joseph there, because it says all the people who heard were in wonder what was being shared about this child. So they were excited by the news. They came. They just shared with Mary and Joseph, anybody else who was there, what they had seen and heard. That's what it means to be a witness. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be an Ingrid Hill. All you have to do is tell people what you've seen, what God's done for you. Just tell them. What we lack is incitement. Do you think the shepherds were like, guys, do you think we should go? Should we tell them like what the angels told us? You know, what if they don't want to hear it? You know, Mary just had a baby. Like, maybe she's not ready for the big news yet. You know, do you think they debated, like, you know, should we? Should we? Not? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. No, they just blabbed about, wait, he's the angels, and he's the Messiah, and it's good news for the whole world. Well, I want some of that in me. I really want that. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get a little bit. I was just at Amanda's Flowers the other day, buying flowers, and she was checking me out. She's like, oh, yeah, Christmas. We need to remember, you know, the real meaning of Christmas. And, you know, she might have meant about the Lord. I kind of was, but, you know, family, love. And I'm like, I agree. A Savior's been born for us. And I said, like, I don't know about you, but I need a Savior. And she loved it, you know. And I ran to my car. I wrote how I got saved. And I put it in a little leaflet. I said, would you like to read this? Absolutely. She took it. It's just easy to plant seeds. I need a Savior. I'm unashamed of that. And here's the miracle. We've seen Jesus. We haven't seen him with our physical eyes. But if you're here today and you're singing these songs, you have seen something other people haven't seen. That's amazing. This happened to me 20-some years ago. I got off the 57 bus at BU, Boston University Central. I was walking to Ruggles Baptist for a prayer meeting, and the classes were changing at BU. And there's hundreds of students walking everywhere, and I'm kind of walking. And for some reason, I'm just looking at people as they're going by. I'm thinking, I'm going to a prayer meeting to ask God to bring his kingdom on earth. And I was just struck by, God, why do I know you? And there's hundreds of people going by me who don't know you. Like, why'd you pick me? Have you ever thought about that? I don't know why that hit me. I'm just seeing people, you know, when you watch people, some people are happy, but most people look kind of burdened and uptight, and people look angry, and they're kind of like, ooh, I don't want to get too close to that person. And you, that's the world we live in. And I know the Lord. I've seen Jesus. You have seen that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and the sin of the whole world, and he rose again. That's a miracle. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Why am I privileged? We're the most privileged people on the face of the earth. You're predestined. God chose you. Like, we're going out looking for presents, and we're picking out the present we want. You've been picked out and purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are prized by God. You're his child. You've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're being perfected by his word and by his spirit. That's who we are. Terry Virgo likes to paint a picture of, we were slaves to sin, slaves to the law, and there's a slave market. And you and I were there, we had chains around us, and Jesus came, and he looked out, he said, Jay and Koshi, Satan, this one's mine. Satan has to let him go. Jillian, yeah, she's mine. Jessica, she's mine. Amodi, she's mine. Christian Hodge, yeah, that one's mine. Wow. Here we are. Let's read Luke 10. It's on your sheet. Here's Jesus. This is Jesus speaking when the disciples come back. He's given them authority over all the demons and to heal every kind of disease. How awesome is that? Some of us are praying for more of that, right? We want to bring more of heaven on earth. So wherever Jesus went, he's healing people. So I'm thinking, God, you must want us to do that more. So we're praying for more of that. But look at what Jesus said. Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Really? I get pretty happy about that. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. There's a book in heaven where people who believe in Jesus, their name gets written in. Mark Hoffman, how long ago was it? 2 years ago or so, Mark? Mark, his name got written in heaven. Hallelujah. At the same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me." Do we believe that? What a radical statement. My Father has entrusted everything to me. Who does Jesus think he is? He's the Lord of heaven and earth. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. No one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then when they were alone, he turned to his disciples and said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. You have blessed eyes." Okay, turn to your neighbor right now and tell him, "You have blessed eyes." Okay, Isaiah and Jeremiah, somehow the Holy Spirit gave them an inkling. They wrote about it, but they couldn't fully see it like we have. King David, he wrote the Psalms. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." So he has this revelation of the Messiah. But Jesus said they didn't get to see what his disciples saw. Now, you haven't seen him physically, Peter says, but you believe in him and you love him and you know him and you belong to him. Hallelujah. Peter says your faith is more precious than gold which perishes. Do you believe that? Your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. We love the verse, well, at least I love the verse, Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walk in darkness see a great light." Maybe you love it too. Have you ever heard people joke about seeing the light? There's a country western song. It was on a tape that Ingrid's dad gave us a long time ago. It was, "Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, Lordy. I saw," you know. And so people make fun of that stuff. I remember I was working at a factory during one of my college years over the summer to earn some money, and these guys were joking with each other, and one guy said, "Oh, no, I've seen the light." And his buddy goes, "Yeah, you saw the light, but it was flickering." And it's funny. Let them laugh. Let people mock. Let people make fun of you. You have seen the light. And that seeing has saved your soul from hell. You have eternal life because you've seen something. Jesus the Messiah. All right, so let's get back to the shepherds. What have we seen? What's the most amazing thing you can see in the world? So the shepherds saw an angel. They saw the glory of God shining. They saw thousands of times thousands of angels, angel armies. But the greatest thing they saw was the baby. So did you guys get number 7 back to your outline? Have you ever pondered? See, Mary pondered these things in her heart. Have you ever pondered why God chose you? You've seen the greatest thing through eyes of what? Faith. And then the next point, the most spectacular thing was the baby, not the angels. That glory of the angels was to announce the baby. The praising God in the highest was because of the baby. What's so great about that baby? John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. That's an amazing statement. The Word was God. The Word meaning Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him. I love how the New Living Translation says it. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Everything we see around us came into being through Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. And that same Son of God, the Word became human and lived among us. That's the great miracle. That's your next fill-in. The Word became human. Is there ever a job someone can ask you to do as a Christian that's beneath you? No. The creator of the world came into our world, his creation, as a baby. As Pat said last week, God entrusted his whole plan to a virgin conceiving in a backwater town in Palestine. Wow, seems a little dangerous. Jesus said to his generation, he said, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, is going to rise up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it because she came from the end of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and something greater than Solomon is here. Can we say amen to that? You have seen that Jesus is greater than the wisdom of Solomon. You possess knowledge that is the most powerful thing on earth. The knowledge of salvation. Praise God. My dad used to tell me, Dave, you're the original straight arrow. Meaning, I was an all-American guy. I did what I was supposed to do. I went to church, sang in the choir. I was a Boy Scout. I generally obeyed my parents. My dad appreciated that. He's like, Dave, you're the original straight arrow. Before I met Jesus, I was the original straight arrow on a road going straight to hell. You can say amen. Not that you want me to go there. Right? I mean, that's what we believe, right? It has nothing to do with how great of a guy I was. Ingrid was voted first in her class to divorce. That's kind of mean. It was likely to have happened before she met Jesus. And she might have been an alcoholic because both of her parents were alcoholics. That could have happened too. But it didn't. It didn't. Everything changed. She's a new creation. We've been married 35 years. What she saw, what I've seen of Jesus is all important. You and I could be wandering in this world, trying to figure out what life's about, wondering, you know, just grabbing for whatever we can get, trying to figure out good and evil for ourselves. And that's just a weight on people today. Trying to make sense of life is a weight. And God's opened our eyes. Praise God. Here's the closing scripture. Look at Isaiah 45. It's at the bottom of your sheet. This is the Amplified version. It says this, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone from my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord shall one say, I have righteousness, salvation and victory and strength." Hallelujah. We have that. You have blessed eyes. Amen.